Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So, from bound to bounding, I think that dog's really attractive, don't you? Really nice dog. I was wrapping presents just before Christmas, probably. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I was wrapping presents just before Christmas, day before Christmas Eve. And I don't know what you're like when you wrap presents, but I used to start, when I had just one child, everything, all the presents were wrapped really exotically, and they all had really fancy labels, and I wrote lots of things on them. It was just sort of like, to my beautiful daughter, and da-da-da-da. Every label was just like perfect silver writing, and everything was perfectly done. And then I had another child, and it was a bit less that was written on the label. And then I had another child, and it was a little bit less. And this year, I found myself sat there on the 23rd of December with presents, with sticky labels that just said, Ben, Danny, Sam. And then I turned to Mikey, and I said to her, I don't even know why I'd bother putting them on at all. Like, why do I put labels on? And even this year, selected paper individual to each child that I thought they'd like. So it was even, they would know which presents were theirs, because one paper had dogs on it, one paper had something else on it, one paper had weird things on it. And so they would know which present was theirs, and they have separate piles. So why did I put these labels on there? The kids really don't care about labels, do they? Children don't care about labels. And don't we do that thing where we sort of get them to read the label, which I'm not saying is wrong, so that they can say thank you to who's given the present? I mean, that's what you do, isn't it? It's like, read who's that from, and that's what you do. It's not a bad thing, that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is they really don't care about the presents, about the labels. They just want to get to what's inside. The labels are totally insignificant to the child. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, we can really learn something from that, I think. From that thing of just, what about these labels? You know, do these labels matter? And I've been reading Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, recently. And for those of you not that familiar with Zechariah, he's a prophet. And he got the people of Judah, who'd been held in captivity by the Babylonians, to rebuild their ruined temple. And it wasn't just their temple, it was them as people. They'd been used and abused. So it was also rebuilding their identity. He sought to bring hope of restoration. So really the central theme of this book is encouragement, bringing encouragement, not to give up, to believe in God's promises. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how that applies to you and me now in this time, here and now. How is that relevant to us? And I was thinking of it in terms of what Helen was talking about last week. You know, moving forward, what do we need to leave behind in 2015? What do we possibly need to look at in order to leave stuff behind in 2015? What unresolved issues have I got in my life? What have you got in your life? What can we do with this? And I thought, well, how about we start by removing the labels? Learn from the children. Because actually, labels can be helpful or unhelpful, can't they? You know, labels can tell us what's inside something, unless you're in my house, because we tend to have things like rice in the biscuit tin and coffee in the tea jar. And I learned it from my mother. She does that. She never puts the right things in the right jar, so I just blame her totally. It's always the way you deal with things, isn't it? Blame the mother. But usually, in people's houses, you kind of know what's in something. Or you go to the supermarket, you buy something, and it says jam, and it's got jam in it, which is really helpful. Even uniforms can help, can't they? It helps if you see, you know, a policeman's got a uniform on, you know who he is. You know, even dog collars. I can say this now, Phil's gone, isn't it? He doesn't wear one, actually, very often. But, you know, I don't like dog collars, but it does tell us who the vicar is, doesn't it? So, you know, in a sense, some things are helpful. Have I got this in the wrong place? I need to not waggle my arms about, don't I? I can't keep still. I'll try not to waggle. So they can give us information, but they can also be unhelpful. They can lead us to make inaccurate conclusions. They can lead us to make assumptions that are actually quite damaging and destructive to people. And it was funny because when I was talking to God about all these things that were going through my head that I've just said to you, in a bit of a random way, I asked him, as I do, to just confirm for me, is this the message that you want me to bring today? Is this, God, what you want me to say? And it's really fun. I just love how God does this. It's like, literally, within about 20 minutes, I picked up Word for Today. I don't know how many of you read that. This happens to be quite a lot of Word for Today. I don't know what it is about this. But anyway, I'd asked him, I said, just let me know, because I like to have confirmation. It helps with my insecurities. So just let me know, God. And so I pick up Word for Today. This is Boxing Day. So some of you may have read this. And hang on. And it says this: remember the man in Scripture who was possessed by demons. Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Legion wasn't this man's real name, it was merely a label. But he'd battled his problem so long that he accepted the label and defined himself by his experience. Perhaps you've labelled yourself fatso because you've battled weight for so long with no apparent victory in sight. Or you've defined yourself as victim because you were abused or taken advantage of by others. Maybe you see yourself as failure because you're divorced or your kids have gone off the tracks. If so, it's time to lose the negative labels and start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Jesus set this tormented man free, gave him back his self-worth, and restored him to his family. And he wants to do the same for you. I won't read the rest of that, but that for me was confirmation. It's like, labels. What do these labels do to us? What do they do to us in our lives? What do they do to who God made us to be? Ruin our true identity. I wonder how many of those are familiar to you. I wonder how many labels you've worn that are up there, written down. I've written down a few more. The difficult one, the depressed one. Have you been labeled the good girl, the sick one, the troublemaker, the liar, the angry one, the sad one, the lazy one, the one who ruins everything, the thick one, the clever one, the strong one, the weak one, the messed up one, the perfect one, the ugly one, the beautiful one, the waste of space. Labels stick, don't they? They stick. And I wonder how long you've been wearing these labels. I wonder who put them on you. I wonder how they affect you. I wonder what purpose they serve. I wonder if they help in any way. I wonder how they cause damage. And I wonder if you would like to peel off that label or those labels. And I wonder if you need help to do that. I wonder how different life would be if you didn't wear some of these labels that are up here or some of the ones I've just mentioned. What difference would that make to your relationships to yourself, with others, with God? How would that change your life if you didn't have those labels? I'm sure we've all in some way, whether it's with our own children or in our own childhood or someone we know, experienced the effect of labelling in schools. I worked in Charlton Court for a while and, gosh, some of those kids were really labelled. Backgrounds they'd had, they were just labelled. The Pygmalion effect that I've put up there, I didn't just choose that because it's got a line, by the way. But it's true, isn't it? You know, we live up to expectations. It's what labelling does. We're likely to act the way people expect us to act or the way we think we should act according to how we view ourselves. It's also amazing the labels that we wear that we don't even know were put on us. We're not even aware how they got there. Did you know? I've just found this out. Did you know that the Bronte sisters all died in close succession to each other before the age of 40? I knew nothing about these sisters. I randomly came across this information. But six of them were born in a seven-year period. And then the mother died when she was 39 years old. And after she died, the house just froze for 30 years. And it seems that the father never came to terms with his wife's death. He could never accept it. And so the children never developed a separate sense of self. They were so attached. And so they wore these labels. They ended up all dying within a 3-month period. You know, it's like quite a big deal, all before the age of 40, which is, you know, the same age as their mum. Another story I stumbled across with about a little boy called Roberto, who from the age of 8 used to develop a red rash around his neck every Valentine's Day. There was no medical explanation for this. They couldn't work out what it was, but every Valentine's Day from when he was 8. And just before his dad died, Roberto was 18 years old, and his dad told him that both his granny and his mother had killed themselves. his grandmother had hung herself, his mother had slit her throat, and or the other way around. And, you know, he didn't know that. But every Valentine's Day, and they both had died on Valentine's Day, both taken their lives on Valentine's Day. He had no idea of this, you know? Look at how that can limit lives. Look at the damage that can be done and how we can be defined by somebody else without even being aware of it as part of that family's system. You know, and I wonder what core beliefs we develop as a result of the labels that are put on us. I'll never change. I'm always to blame. It's my fault. I'm rubbish. I'm mad. I'm bad. I'm just like my mother. I'm just like my father. I've just said that with the teabag thing, haven't I? Put things in the wrong tin. Just like my mother. What about the if-only game? You know, if only I wasn't so stupid, I wouldn't be in this mess. If only I wasn't here, it'd be easier for everyone else. I've worn many labels, as I'm sure you have. You know, some have been placed on me by other people. Some I've stuck on myself. And do you know, the longer you wear them, the more embedded they become. It's really hard to get them off. And they do become part of our identity, or our whole identity. So here we are, beginning of 2016, a new year, a time when many people make New Year's resolutions. And it just seems like a good opportunity to look a bit at this. Look at what labels maybe we need to discard at the beginning of this year. Because the truth is that these labels rob us of our true potential. They rob us of running the race. They rob us of knowing who we truly are. So here we go. How do we get rid of these unhelpful labels? Well, first of all, asking God to help. We need truth, don't we? We need to talk to him. We need to walk with him. He's the one that has got the answers. He is our loving father. You know, those of us in the room that are parents, what happens when someone puts a label on your child? Don't you just want to knock their head off? You know, someone puts a label on my child, I'm going to get that label off best I can. Sword of the Spirit, the Bible. You know, we need to renew our minds to challenge destructive thought patterns, and we all have them to some degree or another. I heard a speaker recently say, your healing has to go deeper than your wounding, otherwise you will remain brokenhearted. You know, how many of us in this room have suffered with brokenheartedness or still are? Sword of the Spirit is powerful. Using scripture, you know, saying it out loud. I'm more than a conqueror through him who strengthens me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the head, not the tail. Find the ones that mean something to you. For I haven't got the spirit of fear, but of sound mind. Say the ones out loud that really get to those issues that you struggle with. Follow Jesus. Jesus removed labels when he came to earth, didn't he? He removed labels. He hated prejudice. He challenged the people that put labels on others. He hated judgment. The woman at the well, look how he treated her. The demon-possessed man who was mentioned in that quote from Word for Today. And then not only did he remove those labels, but he gave those people a purpose, didn't he? The woman at the well becoming the first evangelist. The disciples, those ordinary men with fears and insecurities, just like you and me. They weren't anything special. They were just ordinary, weren't they? But they didn't let their ordinariness stop them from doing extraordinary things. They didn't wear that label. They shone. What if they thought they weren't worth it or they weren't qualified? What if they just kept those labels stuck on them? Mary, you know, chosen to be the mother of God. Look at the labels she must have got from people. Unmarried mother, you know, pregnant and not married. How terrible. She didn't let that crush her calling, did she? Because she knew the truth. She knew what God thought of her. She didn't let the opinion of others weigh her down. And we need to learn from these people because God wants to remove our labels in just the same way so that we can discover what's inside. I want to show you a clip that I came across of a lady who had a label. She had a label of being Muslim. And look what Jesus did. If it works.
و حتی مثلا از سن 4-5 سالگی شروع کردم نماز رو یاد گرفتن و مثلا قبل از اینکه وارد مدرسه بشم سوره های قرآن رو حفظ میکردم. دین هستن اینا خیلی شستشون مغزی ما رو میکردن و اگرم یه همچین چیزی میشنیدم خوشحال میشدم، ولی همیشه به ما میگفتن حتی اگر یه مسیحی رو بکشیم وارد بهشت میشیم و برای همین بیشتر تلاش کردم که قانونهای مذهب رو دقیق‌تر انجام بدم. فکر میکردم وضوع اشتباه گرفتم، دوباره هی میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم، شاید این مثلا برای یه نماز 10 بار تکرار میشد که من میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم و برمیگشتم. و مریضی روحی هم که گرفتم، افسرده وحشتناکم بودم، احساس کردم که هیچ وقت به خدا نرسیدم و مامانم تو حالت مرگ بود، خیلی هم وابسته بودم به مامانم و گفتم که من خودمو میکشم اگر اجازه ندی تو خونه این کارو بکنم بیرون از خونه خودکشی.
ولی تو جوونی، تو آینده داری مامان
جان. و گفتم باشه اگر دوست داری با هم خودکشی کنیم.
My brothers and sisters, I'm with you tonight. The Lord has a special message for you tonight. If you're hopeless, if you're oppressed, if you're planning to commit suicide, the Lord says stop. He has a hope and a future for you. If you're planning to kill yourself, stop and call me.
و برای نیم ساعت با کشورما صحبت کرد. کاری که کردم انجام میدم و اگر تو بخوای پشیمون بشی من خودم تنها این کار میکنم. وقتی که رفتم توی اتاق دیدم مامانم داره دعای توبه رو میکنه و خیلی عصبانی شدم.
به من ندیان، نه
چهش میگم،
نمیخوام با شرف بزنم، بلان دیگه نمیخوام، قطع کن بینم
چی داره. خدا فردینا
نمیخوام،
لجبازی نکن،
نمیخوام، قطع کن، خجالت بکش، خرمز مگه کیه، بلان کن کشیش، خرمز کیه.
ولی شما گفتین اگه کسی
When I talked to her, she was cold. She was fighting. And she told me very proudly, I'm going to kill myself and your Jesus cannot do anything for me. After about an hour of argument with her, and I couldn't change her mind.
You said it yourself. Allah has done nothing for you. Give Jesus just one chance. You can always kill yourself next week.
وقتی که این فکر اومد توی سرم گفتم این بهترین راهه که یه بار دیگه تا آخرین لحظه مرگم به الله خدمت کنم.
She was thinking, okay, I pray and next week this time Jesus had not done anything for me. I call live on the air and I tell everybody, look, I tried Jesus for a week and nothing has changed and I'm going to kill myself tonight and I would do it on the air.
و بعد از یک هفته که خودکشی میکنم حد اقلش اینه که وقتی به حضور خدا میرم میگم آخرین کارم هم برای تو انجام دادم. فردا صبحش که از خواب بیدار شدم، ساعت نیمه شب بود که از خواب بیدار شدم، دیدم که مامانم خیلی راحت داره تو خونه راه میره و دیگه اونطوری نیست که تعادل نداشته باشه یا دستشو جایی بگیره. گفتم ما باید سریع بریم بیمارستان و وقتی که جوابو سریع گرفتیم دکتر گفتش که فقط میتونم بگم یه معجزه شده چون هیچ اثری از بیماری ام اس نیست.
چه جوری میشه؟ شما خودتون گفتین که اینشون ترمینال
بوده. فقط شما خانم یه معجزه است و به یه امام دعا کردی. شما کجا نشون دادید؟ خانم این شب یک معجزه است. این یک معجزه است.
ما اصلا به هیچ امامی دعا نکردیم. به عیسی مسیح دعا کردیم.
Jesus can do. He's amazing, hey? And that shame that can be inflicted on people, it robs us of our voice, doesn't it? Which Satan loves. But those women were given their voices, weren't they? And what an amazing thing to be transformed in that way, to be able to do that, to find out the truth, that label was just so limiting, so damaging, so cruel. Get extra help. Sometimes we have particularly difficult issues, don't we? I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I've had particularly difficult issues and I need some extra help. And you know, it's like removing those, you know, those sales stickers that you just can't get off. It doesn't matter what you try, you just cannot get them off. Sometimes you can have problems like that. You just can't deal with it by yourself. You need extra help. And you know, what is this stigma? I mean, I used to be so against counselling, as you probably gathered, I'm not anymore. Otherwise, I'd be wasting my time. But it's such a stigma. You know, we're okay about going to a doctor, you know, if we've got a broken leg, but you know, anything else, any help in the sort of head area, and we sort of think, oh gosh, something really wrong with me, I must be really mad. But sometimes we just need some extra help, you know, and we've just, you know, seen the effect of shame, as I've just mentioned, in that clip. You know, religion can do bring huge shame, that thing of, oh, we're just bad, we're born bad, God judges us, God hates us. We're rotten sinners. We can come to the conclusion that we're just bad, you know? And that's not the truth of what God says, is it? Shame is so damaging. Brené Brown said, shame corrodes the very part of us that believes we are capable of change. It's so destructive. And it can take time to work through a big issue like that. There's a chap called Phil Mollen who says that he talks about the cure for shame. And do you know what the cure for shame is? Anyone know? Empathy. Empathy is the cure for shame. And I love that. Because it gives hope, doesn't it? It restores us. Empathy. Someone just being there. Someone just, you know, feeling what it's like to walk in your shoes as close as you can get. It's important to get help when we need it. It's what God wants us to do. Turn to each other. Zechariah, he encouraged people to turn to each other, to work together to rebuild the temple, not to try and do it alone. We need close, trusting relationships. We need prayer. You know, we all have different labels, as we've been talking about. One of my labels is broken. The label broken. And if I feel weak in any way, I immediately start falling back down into that pit of, I'm just broken. You know, that's where I go. If you've been in the pit, that's where you go back to. recently I was feeling weak and I said to a very good friend, I was a bit emotional and I was just like, I'm not broken. And she said, actually, I think she sent it a text. She said, no, you're not. You're a lioness who's lost her roar. And I love that. I've just kept that in my head because it's like, yeah, she believed me that I wasn't broken. Not broken. Actually, I was just worn out and wasn't really taking good care of myself. So we can easily put back on labels that actually God has taken away. We've removed those labels, but something goes wrong or we feel a bit vulnerable and we stick them back on again. I'll never be any different. That's what we do. Believe the truth. The truth is, no matter what's happened in the past, we are no longer naked. Beth Moore says, whom he restores, he robes. We are clothed in righteousness, in dignity. And we need to decide to hold our heads up high. No one's going to believe that we've been restored if we don't believe it ourselves. Sometimes it takes people a while to believe that it's true, to believe that we could possibly be different. I don't know if any of you saw the nativity in Boughton School. I'm looking around. I don't think probably any of you did. But it was a really special nativity, and it was called the Little Star, I think, or something like that. And it was about, brilliant, Bert said. Yeah, of course. But you remember seeing it, hey? So this little star wore a label. This little star thought that she was just rubbish. And she wanted to be big and shiny like the moon. Is that right, Bert? She wanted to be big and shiny like the moon. So she had terrible self-worth. She thought she was useless and rubbish. She focused on what she looked like, just a little star. And she sang this song. You can guess I was probably crying through most of this nativity. She sang this song, and she sang it so beautifully. And she sang, in my heart, I'm big. In my heart, I'm big. You know, and I just thought, gosh, you know, isn't that true? Like, in your heart, you just got to let that come out and take off that label. And isn't that what can come out? If you believe you're small, you'll act small. If you believe you're big, and I don't mean getting all, like, obnoxious and stuff, but, you know, you believe you can do things, and you'll do them. And that means no matter what people say about us, no matter what labels they put on us, no matter how they say, she'll never change, you know? No matter what they say, we know the truth. And that's enough, actually. That's enough. We know the truth. God knows the truth. We're redeemed. We're restored. We've been clothed in righteousness. We're okay. Isn't it good to feel that you're okay? And we all have a story. If we went round this room, we don't do enough of that, actually. But, you know, what is your story? I was at one of these casting things that my boys do recently, and it was me and the two smaller ones, and I don't do shy. I'm not very good at being embarrassed. I probably need to find out how to be embarrassed more. I think it would help me. But I was at this thing and the people there, and none of that phases. I'm just not bothered by that. And then she asked me a question. She said, are you an actress? In that moment, I changed. I crumbled inside. I literally crumbled. I felt like I wanted the ground to swallow me up. I didn't know where to put myself. I was a different person in that moment. And I went right back to being a teenager, and I felt like almost someone could have audibly said to me, who do you think you are? Out of my mouth came, no, I'm just a mum. But it was in my head was booming this voice saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you could ever be? And suddenly I had these horrible voices in my head of, what do you think you're doing at all in life? Almost like, why are you here? You know, this came out of this one question. Because the labels were coming back at me. This is the effect things can have on us. Sometimes labels can have a purpose. Sometimes they can get us through a season. Sometimes they can help us make sense of our pain, actually. They can assure us we're not crazy. We're not stupid. We're suffering in some way. People who suffer with trauma, people who get diagnosed, put the label PTSD, you know? Well, they're suffering with a trauma. That gives them, that's what's wrong. That's what's happening for now. Someone who's dyslexic, someone who's grieving, someone who's suffering with depression, whatever. It can be like, oh, that's, actually, I'm not, you know, I'm not mad. I'm not bad. Whatever. There does come a time with some labels where we may need to take them off. We may need to rip them off. We may need to take them off gently. But we need to see what's inside. We need to open that gift, don't we? Get rid of whatever hinders us, whatever stops us from running that race. And it seems like it would be really good this new year to start by taking some risks. Because do you know what? We might find that we quite like what's underneath the labels. Yeah, God does, doesn't he? He thinks we're okay. I heard someone recently say, we're strongest in the weakest places. You know, and we are, because we get up again and we keep going. I just said about that example just now where I felt like I'd crumbled. Well, I got up again and carried on. That's what we do, isn't it? We're strongest in our weakest places. Paul, the Apostle Paul, doesn't he describe that war? I know I've talked about it a lot, but it's just so powerful how he describes that war within. You know, what we want to do, but what we can't do. That battle between the spirit and the flesh. So real. I heard someone recently say something really important about this passage. And that was that we actually need that war. Let's not dismiss that war. As hard as it is to be in it, let's not dismiss it, because it's evidence that we're still fighting. See, if we get to the point where we're not even aware of how we'd like it to be, or we've just totally accepted, well, this is just how I am, that's the time to be concerned, because then we're accepting a second-rate existence, aren't we? It's important not to resign ourselves to those labels. I'll always be this way. I'm rubbish. Many people this time of year have this thing of, it's a new year, I'm going to lose weight. So you're trying to resist the biscuit tin, and every time you go near the tin, it's like, well, I shouldn't do that, but I want to, and having the desire to. And by the way, I learned something recently, and I got it wrong. Cravings only last between 5 and 7 minutes. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I thought I'd heard it's 5 to 7 seconds, and I said it to Mark and Mikey, and they're like, no, it's minutes. 5 to 7 seconds is really doable, isn't it? Is that 5 to 7 minutes? But anyway, you're trying to resist, and you're in this battle, and the battle's fierce, and eventually you give in. You're like, I've just got to have a biscuit. And then you understand that war, don't you? I want to do it, but I don't want to do it, but I have to do it. But you know, what if you just arrived at the biscuit tin and just kept going and kept going and going? I mean, surely that's more dangerous, isn't it? Isn't that what this chap is saying when he's saying, actually, that war, you know, that's important. Because if you just aren't even aware of it, the label's stuck, isn't it? You've just resigned yourself to it. In Roman times, some of you might know this, that another form of torture, we know about crucifixion, but another form of torture was where they strapped someone to a dead body and gradually they would rot away with the dead body. Absolutely horrendous. And I was thinking about this in terms of this going from bound to bounding. You know, we can be strapped to the most horrendous stuff, can't we? Horrendous stuff. But we can be set free from that. We can be set free. We can bound. I came across these verses in Psalm 129. It said, my back is covered with cuts as if a farmer had ploughed long furrows, but the Lord is good. He has cut the cords used by the ungodly to bind me. Isn't that beautiful? You know, Jesus bought our freedom, didn't he? We're set free from all that stuff that holds us in a bad place. We don't need to stay in bondage. I've come as a light into the world so that whoever believes in me may not continue to live in darkness. Together we can restore and rebuild. Again, Zechariah It says, don't be afraid or discouraged, but instead get on with rebuilding the temple. We can go from bound to bounding. We don't have to be strapped to those labels. We can peel them off. God is faithful. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. Same promise that was given in Zechariah. God is faithful. Things take time sometimes, but God does complete the work that he started. And when we get rid of those labels, when we get rid of what hinders us, then we can get excited about what's inside, can't we? What's inside the gift? Who are we really? What place have we got in this world? What can we offer? Because we're all needed. I picked this up off Facebook. It's from A Dark Knight Rises. And Jim Gordon says to Batman, I never cared who you were. And Batman says, and you were right. Jim said, but shouldn't people know who saved them? And Batman says, a hero can be anyone. Even a man doing something as simple and reassuring as putting a coat around a young boy's shoulders to know him, that the world, for him to know that the world hasn't ended. It's what it's about, isn't it? And we can choose to focus on the love and the truth and the peace that God talked about, that he told the people of Judah. He ended the times of mourning and of fasting because the people were becoming too obsessed with that, too focused on that. They take priority over mercy, over justice, those things that need to be looked at. And aren't we living in times where people need to be set free, where people are so bound? They're so bound by fear, you know? And these are scary times that we're living in. Zechariah 8, verse 23 says, let us go with you, for we have heard God is with you. Isn't that what we want people to witness here and now in the state that this world is in? That God is with us in these turbulent times. It's not religion we need, it's relationship, isn't it? It's relationship. People are crying out for relationship. Do you know, on news, I still get texts. I got on News Day from this lady that literally me and Danny spent about 20 minutes with in London years ago. She was in a terrible state, and you know, it was nothing. And yet she texts me still. I don't know this lady, and she still sends me texts. You know, what's she looking for? She's looking for love. She's looking for a relationship. It's what the world's crying out for. I want to play you a song. I'm going to finish then. I want to play you a song. It's called We Are the Reason. I haven't managed to leave Christmas yet in 2015. I'm sorry, this refers to Christmas, this song. But I think it's a real good song to listen to if you ever feel like giving up. You know, we're not victims, are we? You know, we can be victims of something specifically, if I can get the word out. But we're victors. We're not victims. And this song just highlights that truth. You know, we can bound. We don't need to be bound. Anyway, listen to this.
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We were the reason that he gave his life. We were the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us
truth is, he didn't give his life so that we could walk around with labels stuck on us, did he? He died so that we could live in freedom, so that we could not be bound, but so that we could bound, which I think is really good news. So I'm just going to pray. Jesus, thank you so much that we are the reason, that's such incredible news, we are the reason that you suffered and died. Let us not forget that, Jesus. These times when we've been celebrating you coming to this earth as a little baby, God, you gave us so much. Help us, Jesus, enable us, equip us to give all that we can give to this world so that others can know the hope that we've known, the hope that's been given by you. Help us, Jesus, to recognize the labels that we need to peel off. And God, if we need help with that, let us not be too proud to get whatever help it is we need, in whatever way, in any way. Let's just get rid of whatever is hindering us so that we can rise up as a healthy, strong army, sure in our identity as your children, free to bound into your will for our lives. Thank you that your plans for us are good. Thank you for your incredible love. I pray for each person in this room today. God, fill each person with your love, with your hope. Let each person know deep in their spirit that they truly are so deeply loved by you, that each person is the reason, and even if it's just one person, would be the only reason that you came, that you suffered, that you died. And let us bring hope. Let us be a voice of hope to this suffering world. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for what you offer. Amen.